No, we
with his poor form now.
With his poor form, you think you went and matched your keeper?
It's your boy Shea Wolo. And you're listening to
Ball Gecko Podcast.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Ball Gecko Podcast. I'm Mayive. And with me?
I'm Naz. Yeah, I'm not with you, but I'm Naz.
So this is our first episode in 2022.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean,
shout out to more banters.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, we're going to start the episode on banter.
But you know, last year I won. If we're going to,
it was he just you guys, who is this competitive human being? I don't even understand who is calculating.
All
who
my
who
fans
know.
Were very
please. You know, I would like us to start this conversation.
The game is going on, you know, sitting on the chair.
Congratulations to you for winning the Ballon d'Or. Not complaining. But here we are going to talk about Lukaku's apology. I mean, last time I saw you, it was pitchforks and knives. And you're about to hang him, but
we are all angry.
Okay. Oh, okay. Just angry, and then small TV confrontation. You finished.
And some colorful languages. So apart from Lukaku, then we'll be talking about Ragnik, his first loss.
That's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful in a sad way, in a very sad way. But yes, it was poetic.
I think then we'll talk about transfers in the mix of Ragnik. Then we'll move on to Chelsea. Talk about
there are also some interesting EPL news to talk about as well. I mean, we can also stick in at the end of the episode. Yeah.
And
I mean,
then we'll talk about the EFL game coming up.
Yeah. So right, yes, so yeah, Lukaku. I mean, it's you. I want to just put the ball in your court and, you know, express how you feel about you're
right,
angry
so
and now you're
first,
not more angry.
First of all, I'll start with Tuchel's interview yesterday,
okay,
where he was posed with several questions about what happened, and then to summarize everything he said, he was like, if Lukaku had given him vibes of not being committed in the first place, then that's when there'll be a red flag. But when the interview came out, that they were all equally shocked because it was not looking like the Lukaku they knew. So he put it out there that yeah, for sure he spoke out of line.
You're giving me the gist about what Tuchel said. I want to know what Maivi said, because Maivi had Lukaku's head on the pitchfork.
All these other people,
his career is dead as a Chelsea player. All that doesn't mean anything.
All these other things.
Yes.
So because of what Tuchel said,
okay,
who is our boss?
Okay.
After Roman.
Now relax. Hold on. All this is Shalaida. I'm not
so
ready to go. Wait. Tuchel said is not what I'm here for. Maivi, what is your reaction to the apology? Because your initial reaction was Lukaku is dead as a player. He has messed up his whole career. Nobody can buy him. He's dead. After this season, just to sell him. Come from that energy and tell me what you are saying. He just enter camera and said sorry. Not Tuchel said.
Nigeria.
Okay.
Or the world round.
Okay.
People say, if husband and wife are fighting, don't get involved. Because when they settle it, you'll be the one outside.
You should be ashamed of yourself. So, are they in Nigeria? Why do Nigeria urge you to cover
the love I have for Chelsea and the love we all have for Chelsea? And from what Tuchel said,
it has not extended to loving Lukaku.
And then the
back.
Apology. They say love her.
Why was that an apology though?
The true test of love.
Oh, was that an apology? So hold on.
Ability to forgive.
Oh yes, congratulations. Do you not admit that Lukaku was saying his truth?
No, he apologized. Now, so let me explain.
Listen to that apology again.
Let me explain.
That was not an apology. The one thing that made
all of us angry was the fact that he said Bayern, Madrid, and then
Baka. Yeah.
Baka. Mm-hmm. I've even forgotten that team to tell you.
Obviously, I mean, He said
what he meant was that other people are interested in Madrid, Barca, and whatever, but it has always been Chelsea for him. And then he apologized that he spoke out of line. And then he also, I wish if it's possible for us to play the interview, but it's like 5 minutes and then.
But I actually love it that the people and in the studio have this reaction to what he's saying, and they know that I'm my guy.
That's
1+1 is not equal to 2 right now, man.
Man, please. Well, this is our family battle. Good luck to you people from the outside.
It's beautiful to watch. Now, 7 million telling you that he doesn't want to play again. You are telling me
so
he sorry.
So he said he signed a 5-year contract.
But hold on. But I said something about him telling you sorry and then all to go off in like smoke because he's still going to play for you this season. I said that.
I said he will play, but I said he will not get our love back. But why do I think he will
this story has gotten your love back from what you are saying?
No, he has not. He still has a point to prove.
Okay.
Starting with what our next match is.
I mean, I'm not the only person hearing you talk, and I can believe you. I know I'm here. You talk with so much love for Lukaku right now because
I'm emotional about this.
Hold on. The you that made that face first
I said
about
I
his
do
career
in front of the whole crowd, and it's for better, for worse, in death. No, till death do us part. Even in death, man, I'm blue for life. Please.
I'm going to rag.
Right now,
yes.
If a man has apologized, we are all adults. We should be able to forgive each other. What's the essence of love if we cannot forgive? So, on behalf of every Chelsea fan, I'm saying Lukaku, oh yes, you have apologized, accepted, but you still have a point to prove. and we are watching to see if you are really as committed as you claim to be.
Such a drop off from your career has ended and no big team will sign you again. Now,
no, I said you can never come back.
I'm so sad, my guys. I feel disappointed.
Good luck to you. We have
it's by you, by you. Just
you people
just
that want us to break up.
No, not Chelsea. I watched that interview and you're the first thing that came to my mind.
The love is deeper. You should be happy for me. The love is deeper than the game. The love is deep. And Lukaku has a point to prove. And he's more fired up now because we are all out there and then we are folding our hands and we are looking at him. I hope he scores against Tottenham.
Congratulations.
I believe he should better have his shirt and then apology must be written on that. When he scores, he pulls up the shirt.
What a dramatic human being, my God. Fans. I swear to God.
Lukaku, that's what I'll do. So I'm expecting him to do that. And Lukaku is a very emotional guy.
So if nobody told me this about you, I would not believe that you be the one that will come up with this apology on that shirt. And now
that's all love does, man. It can melt your heart and make you very angry.
I mean,
at the same time, you know.
That's fine.
Tuchel has spoken. He said we should give him a chance to prove himself.
He
apologized like almost four times in that video. Please.
Which is why I'll also give Ragnick a chance. I mean, this is one loss out of six games. To be very fair, what I think is this loss has been coming. All the performances. I mean, you play Newcastle, you're drawing 1-1, and it's looking like you're even struggling to get that one point. So, I mean, the team performance has not still been there. But now it's not a case of, the manager likes certain players or is favoring for it. This manager has come out to say, I'm not here for this player to make this player's ego look good or to play Rashford if he's playing rubbish. If you're playing rubbish, you go and sit down. But then I'm seeing stuff about squad breakout, click and all of that certain players are not happy with the undroppable Ronaldo, which is one thing I said on the Red Devils podcast. The 100% Red Devils podcast. I made a statement about us signing Ronaldo and him being an undroppable striker. So regardless
he's not really, but he has proven himself. That's why he's still there. I believe with Ragnick, if you don't prove yourself, you won't be there.
So you think Ronaldo's performances, you don't think when you are watching him, you don't think at some point we need to sub him because he's more or less negating the gameplay rather than adding to it.
Now, if you
negating the gameplay because we're not even creating chances. This is a match that we
judge with.
I'm going to give you numbers that you make you see why I'm not anti Ronaldo, but I'm just saying at some point if you're a manager, if you're a manager that says that okay, it's based on performance, I didn't choose players and everything, but they're performing training and all of that, good. And Ronaldo has, to be very fair, he's even a top scorer in the season, so he deserves every right to be there. But in every 90 minutes, he actually self gives you reasons why you feel like the Newcastle game that he was always complaining
because he's expecting certain.
What was expecting vibes, him and Bruno, which of them got benched? I mean, Bruno first got benched because of suspension. When he came out from suspension, why was he starting against Wolves? He didn't start against Wolves, he started on the bench.
Really, that's part of the mistake Ragnick made.
Did you watch that game? Yes,
what do you think was lacking in that game?
Forward passes or ideas, creativity.
Yes, there was no creativity.
Yes, I agree. Yes, and that was supposed to be Sancho and Greenwood doing
those
that.
Those guys pressed you up to
not
that.
Not pressing. I won't say it's pressing. I'll just say inability. Yes, Manchester United inability to hold the ball to even build up.
They didn't even give you an opportunity.
Not that they didn't give us. Do they give Man City opportunity that Man City play them out?
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. So if those people know how to play ball, if my defenders know how to play ball, if they are good ball players,
did you watch Arsenal Man City? They didn't give them the chance to.
And they could play ball, and they played, and all of the both. You know, both of them actually had transition of plays from the back to the front at different points in the game. True. Man, you see, you cannot call
you can't
three times.
The quality.
What's the quality? The players that I have Champions League Varane in that defense. So sure, you know that. So yes, you are laughing at the names, but they're actually good quality players here. And the fact that they are unable to pass out from the back. All these players here are minimum 27 million. If I call my players for you now, minimum 27 million, and that's even look sure.
Okay.
All of them are high and they don't know how to string five passes and pass from the back to the front effectively. That a Wolves, not a Man City, not a Chelsea, not a Arsenal, not a Liverpool, not a Tottenham, a Wolves will press you and you're telling me they press me. That's why I should now relax and say, yes, they press me. I'm not going to take that. See, you and your Man U doesn't take care. Man U allows rubbish and mediocrity. My guy, this is what we're complaining. We in the club, we are fans. We don't like this.
So what do you expect to see?
I feel better from the players than that's why I cannot blame. I cannot say Ragnick because Ragnick now is a clear mirror about if you are looking up for it, you play. Not that you are not looking for it, but because of I like you've done it for me in the past, I'll play, which was the issue we had with Ole. But
so now that's what I'm saying.
I mean, that game looked like it needed Fernandes way earlier than he should have come on. That was one. And then, like I said, in per every 90 minutes, you are watching the game, you're always going to start Ronaldo. Ronaldo is undroppable, he's always going to start for you. But when it's not looking like this game is not going in Ronaldo's favor, there's still a chance of Ronaldo being the 96 minutes winner.
So
because it's Ronaldo.
How will you see a game? How will you say the game was not going in Ronaldo's favor? Ronaldo is somebody.
You're not watching the back of the TV now. You're watching the game to see that Ronaldo is. Yes. Hold
when
on.
Did they give Ronaldo the ball apart from the pass?
Exactly. When the game. See, even Ronaldo. See,
do you know how many runs Ronaldo was making in that game and
true.
The passes did not come?
If you go for that, do you know how many runs? That's not true. Ronaldo did leave ball with a pass for him.
Ronaldo did not make runs.
He leaves.
That ball was too much. That pass.
No, not just one pass, my guy. Ronaldo, a lot of times, Ronaldo has this material. If the pass doesn't come to my feet directly, I don't struggle
that's
with the next player. It's all see. How often do you see Ronaldo struggle
that's
for pass that is not comfortable for him?
That's a very.
Big it's not like
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo is a good player.
Now,
he's a good player, but he's also a luxury player. To be very fair, if the team is not ready to, yes, exactly. If the team is not ready to fight for Ronaldo for that Ronaldo. Energy.
Not fight.
He's harder.
Ronaldo
he's harder because you know
a pass that he will get to and a pass that will not get to. And as much as possible,
pass.
He has to manage his energy, especially because he's attacking.
Which you know, yes, even see in the modern day football, you need your 10 outfield players to run. Yes or yes, you need
that
them to run.
Wolves, how many passes did they give Ronaldo?
How many did the team? I say also one thing with all the 27 million people that I have, they cannot pass. How do you pass one to Ronaldo? You're asking questions.
Fault. That's
no,
what I'm telling
Ronaldo
you.
Ronaldo on his own, individually, he's not performing enough.
What do you expect him to do?
These niggas cannot even press because he himself, his pressing is like 5 minutes in the 90 minutes actually. Ronaldo has a burst of energy or a burst of how that
so are you
down.
Saying that
he just
fault is Ronaldo?
No. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying in some games where Ronaldo doesn't look up to it, he doesn't even still want to take him out because he's Ronaldo.
He
and
can't
I
take him out. It's Ronaldo. Ronaldo can still score a goal in the 92nd, 93rd.
Which is what I'm saying.
He has done it like a billion times.
See, hold on now. Ronaldo has given that belief to always leave him on the
pitch. It's not he has given that belief. He has earned that. Right.
Okay. Congratulations. Ronaldo has earned that right to always be on the pitch at every single
time.
But now that we're looking at it retrospectively,
do you think Ronaldo should have come up against Wolves?
Yes.
For who? For who?
I don't know. But I mean, at some point, when one player is not working, I would have said bringing Fernandes at that time. So
for who now?
Wait, now listen now.
On.
Make I land.
Cavani is already on the pitch.
Make I land. Oh, do you think it's only those two players that are there?
Who? Martial will come on for
I don't know. No, not Martial. Martial was not there now.
So who?
I mean, it was even Elanga actually.
Ronaldo will come off in
because
the match that you guys are losing.
Okay. No, I mean, the time Elanga came in, okay, I think that we reconsidered by that time. But I said way earlier, you're telling me one. It's also 0-0 when I was like, Ronaldo is not in this game.
It's impossible for
me. It was 0-0 when I said, even see.
Why?
I think Greenwood should have gone off when he brought Greenwood off.
The problem of that game was the fact that these guys were pressing you guys more than you expected, more than Burnley did. Now, because they were pressing you guys, these two DMs were playing crap.
This is McTominay and Matic. This is so much of
there
a small
no
club
way.
Mentality. And I'm not going to accept it for him because every
the
time
we were not coming in, Luke Shaw was not doing anything.
All these players are big players that should know how to do this basic, like yeah. The basic.
Aaron Wan-Bissaka was not doing anything.
Okay, so you think you blame Rosie Rest on him as well?
Do you think
you blame Rosie Rest on him because I didn't call it? I already said everybody from there moving the ball
what
from
I'm saying
back
is,
to the front.
You guys should stop hanging Ronaldo dry. Man,
I'm not hanging Ronaldo.
You guys are doing
Jesus
the same
Lord.
Thing, man. You fans always do every.
Earlier,
you
said
you guys will hang Pogba.
You don't have
you.
Hold on, Lukaku.
Digier.
Okay.
You guys are now hanging for crying out. You guys are crap.
Fine boy. Listen now. So you see a player not playing up to what you know he can play.
What's up to? Did he
yes.
get the ball? He didn't get the ball.
Let me ask my question first. If he's not playing up to, Varane is obviously not playing up to what I think.
What is Varane even doing? You guys are hailing that guy. That guy himself is just managing.
Are you understanding English?
Varane
because I said he's not playing up to.
Do you know I was more impressed with Jones than Varane that game?
You see how you're looking at that game?
I mean, every we have
oh,
Thiago.
No. Relax.
We're never shouting
Wait,
Thiago
on,
as
on,
much as you guys
so
are shouting Varane.
I want to ask a question. So hold on. James was more impressive than Varane in that game. Yes. That was, according to you now, Phil Jones. According to you, Phil Jones was more impressive than.
Yes, that's
what error did Varane make? What error did Varane make? What error? Tell me one.
Now it's Varane now.
But then, Jones.
But Jones was more impressive because we didn't expect that kind of performance from him.
It was like
the ginger. There were times when Varane was walking about. Did you see Jones jumping up and down?
Yes, that.
Even Luke Shaw complimented him.
All Jones did was he was making key interceptions, and I was very good for him. Yes, his positioning and effort to get there to
even his the crosses
yes.
in.
Yeah, he was making key interceptions, and that's positioning, and that's good for him.
So,
happy for him. But still doesn't mean that next time I want to play, I'm going to put Jones.
The error in that
Jones
game
in that
was that
defense
was
already
creative player. One, two. Sancho was walking. I'm like. what's this guy?
See, who's telling you I'm hanging players to dry?
Sancho was walking up.
So Sancho didn't play anything in that game for you.
As you were impressed with Sancho,
I was
not
impressed
game.
With him.
When he took off Greenwood, I was expecting him to take off Sancho.
No, at all. I mean, see,
Greenwood was coming to the middle of the park several times.
To do
we
what?
Didn't even see
to
Sancho.
Do what? To do what? To
collect
what?
The ball.
And Sancho was not opening up.
Did you see Sancho in that game?
I actually saw Sancho in the second half, actually. I mean, I said I watched second half, so I saw Sancho in the second half.
I was not impressed with Sancho. Okay. And I've not been impressed with Sancho.
Congratulations.
Well, good luck to you guys. I believe Ragnick still is too early to judge Ragnick.
Good luck to your 97ers.
That's the honest truth. Mm-hmm. Ragnick should be given more time, especially.
Ragnick is going to be given more time. I mean, he has the end of season to what he wants to do. And I said it earlier, I think when he was appointed, I said something about I'm giving Ragnick till March. To February, March before I see, like, okay, you know, Ragnick, I want to see what you're doing.
It's sad because I expect more from Ragnick at this point. I don't know if you are accepting what he's doing.
I am not accepting it. But what I'm saying is, these players are already used to what they have been used to for like the last 3 years.
We don't care. That's the rule
of the manager. Yeah, exactly. Which is why I know here when reports come out that these players are complaining that they have to train after 5 p.m. See, the fans did not take it lightly. The way they've been bantering, the way they've been insulting players, that, oh.
How did they say that? I'm
serious. You heard about it. Fans actually lashing out at the players. How can you guys be complaining that they said
how
after 5 p.m.? Exactly. With the money
we're about to kill him.
Exactly. So this is what we're saying. So we on the outside know that these managers are actually trying their own best to some extent. They are trying their best what they can do. True. But these players, they are already used to that pampered lifestyle. I'm coming from somewhere where I know that, okay, these players I'm going to face. I'm not even the manager. I know why I'm doing that now. So it's not like I have this certain player in my mind. So I'm watching the game and I'm seeing that 5 times out of 10 duels, 5 times out of 7 duels, Ronaldo is either losing it and always complaining. And then even his player sees why he's losing the ball and he shouldn't be complaining. And it's very sad. Like, everything that you're better than this, my guy, don't be doing this. Like,
true, sure.
Yeah, so like,
I won't expect Ronaldo to be complaining.
You're watching the game countless, like, every single time it's happening back to back. And you're like, guy, don't do this, bro. Like, I mean, I don't like it.
That's how Ronaldo is, anyway.
With the money they're paying him, I'm not telling him that's how he is. I'm not going to accept
been
that.
Complaining.
No.
Always.
No, he started when he was like, big proper, yeah.
Because that's to even let you know that his passion is intact.
Because he's complaining.
Because he expects more from everybody.
I mean, him Ronaldo complaining that ref is not blowing to, like, see, Ronaldo has many folders of complaints.
It's good. It's tiring. It's ginger.
Because I'll look at Chelsea, I'll look at Liverpool, I'll look at Man City players, they play ball without complaining. Like, you do body check and they're not on the floor saying, ref, why did you not blow?
Everybody complains. Everybody
no,
has
no,
a
no.
That
my zone is worse because they will do it like challenge to challenge, like so back to back challenges.
Away from this, let's just go straight to,
just wants good to
improvements for you guys. Who do you think you guys need to bring in?
For transfers.
Yes, for January.
Oh, I am more of who's
what
going on.
What position
out.
Exactly?
It's definitely midfield. I mean, it's midfield that needs to be.
What position in midfield?
The center of the park. I create.
You guys have center midfielders already, no?
And are they up to scratch? I mean, we are with them.
Is it,
so
is it the center midfield or defensive midfield?
Not necessarily defensive midfield, actually. I mean,
really? I thought you guys were talking about Rice.
Yes. You see something about that midfield. We need a lot. We need more than one player. But at the same time, needing these players means players need to go.
Okay.
And
so
I don't and
like Van de Beek.
I think I'm on the train that Van de Beek should go and resurrect his career somewhere else. It's sad, but I mean, like, as much as I've wanted him to be a star at Manchester United,
he has not been given enough chance, yes. Sadly enough. And then
and
it has come too long.
And
took too long.
I think the issue about it is the kind of player he is and the kind of football man he wants to play. They don't just rhyme. And that's what I was hoping that when we sign Van de Beek, let's just play Van de Beek football. Van de Beek football is soft, it's easy, tap, it's not good. Why do you think McTominay will start under three managers? Back to back. He has the energy, he has the runabout. Like, he's running, he's coming to
Madrid. Yeah. That guy's a star.
Which was
everybody has.
It's just he's extraordinarily physical, and that's good for him. But
not
after
that,
yes, he's not.
Scores too. If he has an opportunity to shoot,
if you're watching McTominay, he scores. He has good, but that comes once in a while. It's not like he's regular.
You know what I mean? We have players that don't shoot at all.
No,
in Chelsea,
I beg.
And score once in a blue moon.
Is it Jorginho? That's one of the top scorers.
Kovacic is penalties now. That's why
I know. I like.
Even Kante.
Kante shoots now. Kante shoots now.
No, he hardly scores. Not like McTominay.
Okay, McTominay actually shoots more than Kante. Okay, so given, I mean, Kante's overall gameplay and McTominay. I mean,
if you guys have Kante, change your midfield completely.
I've been saying that since, like, give me Kante and Pogba.
So I was saying something that they say you guys are interested in Kessié, AC Milan. I think that's somebody that can still play like Kante.
Yeah, like Kante, but it's not. I don't want that player. I mean,
you think it would be like Partey?
at Arsenal.
Yeah, he's and Partey. Do you know Partey actually has some games? I heard Partey,
recently.
Partey played well against Man City
recently.
So yeah, but then
Partey has been doing like.
I'm looking for enough. A better player. I don't know. I'm looking for. I don't know. I know. Tillemans is kind of on the market as well.
You guys need to sign a DM.
No. Yeah. So I think
because Fred is not a DM.
Let me explain. McTominay
is not a DM.
All these players, I think they're trying to train them into that position. Yes, he's
not a DM.
Yes, there's no. The only DM in that team is actually Matic,
and he's dead.
He's not dead.
Not like he's dead. He doesn't have the physicality.
He's not yet.
He doesn't have the ball recovery.
He's no more that Matic of 4 years ago that, you know, was prime Matic. So I mean,
so
he has some elements of it in his game, but he's not what we need to get to where we are going to.
Yes, he should be like a backup to the main person, so he can just come in as a sub.
He should be going. Don't worry, he's also old.
Something like what Milner is doing at
Liverpool. He has collected plenty salary, but. Man, you, I don't know.
So
it's a mystery, basically.
Ask you to pick one player, just one player
to sign.
Yes, that is available to sign. What do you think?
I said something about Tillemans not so long ago, but even the Tillemans, I'm not sure.
Leicester won't sell him now.
Leicester don't have a choice. He wants to go.
He's, in January?
Not January, but I mean,
that's the issue.
The fact that he wants to go now, he can still come and go and play with your head. But if I was going to be very fair, I'm not even looking at incomings like that. See, I'm trying to get the house in order first before I announce that saying, okay, this will better my life. Because to be very fair, I look at some of my young upcoming talents coming up. I look at Anibal Mejbury. I'm already looking at him as an option in that midfield. Yes, exactly. No. He's small and all of that.
World class.
Yeah, saying world class. So hold on.
You need world class.
He's small boy Greenwood playing Carabao Cup and Europa League. That we knew that Greenwood can play ball, and then he started playing in first team. He wasn't playing first team football till December.
So you won't know
these things until this player, until you put them there.
The point where you guys need somebody that will hit the ground and start running.
That is the beauty about it. Imagine putting a youngster there that is unknown quality. The opponent don't know what to expect from him. You there, you don't know what to expect from him. And he dominates. It happens
in one
like
game,
that.
That's what will happen. It's very possible. Know who he is.
First three games you will not know, because they are still looking like, I mean, it's from the third game they start taking his name like, this guy has started two games, or he has appeared in the last two games, who is he?
So if you are going to make a wild wish, somebody that could just join January.
Rice. Wild wish. You said Rice. Right. Okay, so wild wish.
Okay,
Rice.
So about Chelsea.
I was going to go to that. I want to be the one to ask these questions.
Okay.
So yes, so we are back on Lukaku as your main nine. After
yes,
sorry.
Giving him a chance to prove himself.
But that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So what does that mean for Ziyech?
Ziyech is still injured.
Injured? No, I don't think he's injured.
Yeah.
He's is it COVID injured. Or injury?
Because he's not in the squad. I don't know if it's COVID or it's injury, but he's not been in the squad.
Okay, so your left back conundrum. What's the story? Because I keep seeing
People are talking about Emerson coming back. People are talking about Bertrand.
Okay.
I don't know who is going to come in.
I don't think Emerson is coming back though.
But definitely in January, mm-hmm. I'm definitely expecting a new
left back. You don't think like you're not even thinking about them promoting like a youngster.
We don't have any youngster on the left. For some reason, I don't know. We are the lords of right back.
But you are creating. Yeah, I mean, you are creating right wing backs like I see
like
for more.
Tino,
it cannot end.
Lamptey, James.
So you think so? Those are the only two places you need to plug. I mean, there's also Kepa. Kepa
is good.
Yeah,
last time Kepa kept.
Exactly. So Kepa is good to be a keeper throughout the whole of January and maybe a bit of February.
Yes, I'm happy.
And you're good with that
because we've been getting plenty positive reports about Kepa. First of all, the goalkeeping stats that Tuchel said, and then several stiff competitions. Even Bettinelli keeps saying how great these two guys are. I think for the first time, Kepa has one advantage or one strength, two actually, that Mendy doesn't have. One, he's good with his feet, his distribution.
So he's a ball playing keeper.
Yes.
Okay.
Two, he's very good in penalty kicks. And these days,
well, he's not as good as his shortstopper as Mendy.
Of course. Of course, so everybody has their strengths and their weakness, but he has not been given that chance. He was that good before until Lampard era. Then
he said Lampard era.
It's not like.
Was it Lampard that signed him?
Short stopping.
Was he signed under Lampard's stewardship or was it before Lampard? I think it was Sarri.
Yes, I think it was Sarri. This is an opportunity for him to now step up and then prove that he's a threat to Mendy in a
threat.
Because if he is very consistent for a month, I know Tuchel. He doesn't make changes immediately. If you prove yourself well enough, he will leave you in the squad. And then he will ease in Mendy gradually. So I'm positive. I believe Kepa
that's
will know.
Goalkeeping neck.
Yes. Okay. I don't think we're in trouble because Mendy is not around. Kepa is up to the task.
That's nice. So yes, moving on. I think we have a new owner in the English Premier League. Talking about Southampton.
Yeah, they say 100 million. Some guy from...
Just 100 million. Yeah. That's how much Southampton is worth. I mean...
Some guy from...
You have a 100 million striker. How does that feel?
Yes,
these
no.
things happen. Yeah, 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 I forgot to mention Lukaku. Do you know Lukaku was fined? 417 K.
That's like half a million. But you know that's more money to him.
Really?
Yeah.
Lukaku likes money.
Yeah, he likes money, but that's still small money to him. That's not gonna shake him. I keep saying the fine is a gift to footballers and football teams, to be very fair.
So Southampton was bought by a Serbian tycoon.
Solak. You said 100 million though?
Yeah, it was 100 million.
Oh, I didn't see any figure when I saw it, but I mean...
100 million pounds. I don't think it's anything like Newcastle. I don't think we're expecting any...
What I'm saying is I still think even buying them 100 million doesn't mean it's the whole club. Maybe probably has like controlling shares or maybe a very large...
Maybe the highest stake.
Yeah, but not necessarily... Maybe just the loudest voice in the boardroom.
It's not even really like that. I remember when they bought Chelsea, I think the amount paid was like... I think 30 or 20 million. But that was because there was a debt of like 70.
Okay.
So he bought it in debt. So when he now had it together.
Roman?
Yes, when Roman bought Chelsea.
Was 30 million he bought Chelsea?
I can't remember. I think it was about that.
To be very fair, 30 million was a very big money. It was very, very big money that time. It was very big. I mean, 100 million is not so big.
It depends on if these guys are in debt. So he will incur the debts too. So they might not mention that part of the transfer, but
do you think we're going to see more takeovers in the Premier League? I mean, we've seen Newcastle.
Yes,
and
I believe because the English Premiership right now is
very lucrative. Yeah, it's very it's always been lucrative, but right now, I mean, this two in one season so far. I mean, do you think we're going to see more coming
this season?
Yeah.
I doubt. I'm looking forward to somebody buying Manchester United. Funny enough,
yes, I want an Arab. I wanted Newcastle guys to buy Man United. I swear.
We're looking forward to that
because if that happens, I'm going to collect Mbappe from PSG instantly.
Really? Mbappe is going to
exactly. I mean, if I had Newcastle's owners, I'd have gone to Zimbabwe straight
this
too.
Year.
Yes, because first of all, Man already has that standing as a club that can spend big. Newcastle can't do it. They have to work their way up with the whole FFP. I mean, that's a shamble. I mean, they have to work their way through the whole financial thing before they get to a big club that can spend big money. Man City had to do it. I mean, Man City started with 25 million signings and then it started going up.
Yeah, because you cannot spend more than you make.
Exactly. So, Man U right now with those guys, Mbappe, no darling, forget. Probably Mbappe and Neymar together, if you want to go wild, yes. No, actually, Mbappe and Haaland, that would be very
beautiful. So, the EFL, there are talks that Liverpool are...
Yeah, they are requesting for
a postponement.
I don't see that happening.
Well, I don't see that happening. EPL don't listen to anybody.
But they'll be fine. I think Liverpool will be fine. I don't know if they want to cry about this. Their players going for Nations Cup and all of that. But I mean, they just have to get on with it. It's the game. The game is how it has always been.
And Chelsea, Tottenham. What do you expect?
I think it's going to be a game of. Tottenham have the luxury of playing their big players in this. They're starting.
Oh, they always do that.
Conte
doesn't joke with anybody.
Well,
but I'm looking at Lukaku, especially for this
Lukaku
game.
For
and
Chelsea.
Then Conte has been saying he's emotional. This is his first time coming back to the Stamford Bridge since he left.
Who's that? Conte. Okay, yeah. That's cute.
It's going to be, because he had two fantastic seasons with us.
Oh, I still don't
know. Then he's going to come and face Lukaku, who I think he knows.
It's like Chelsea's game to lose, if you ask me. It's Chelsea's game to lose.
I think we'll beat Tottenham.
Exactly. I mean, if Chelsea loses, it's Chelsea's fault. It's not going to be any
reason. It doesn't mean, because Conte is on the high right
he's
now.
There.
But
he's there.
Let's watch.
He's there.
Let's
there are no more in Conference League because of Ana Conte still there. It's been wonderful. I mean...
Hi, my name is Ilozinam, and you're listening to the Ball Gecko Podcast.
Right now, we'll be moving to the AFCON segment, and we have Ayola Kelechi joining us in the studio. Hi, Ayola, how you doing?
Hi, Naz, I'm doing good. Guys, don't forget that this segment of the podcast is brought to you by MTN. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about Group C and also Group D. Naz, what do you think about Group C?
It's one of the tightest groups in terms of the quality of teams out there. I think there's Comoros, the supposed Minos and Deadweight of the group, but they're coming with heavily packed team. There's Ghana, one of the biggest footballing countries in Africa. There's also Morocco and there's Gabon with the wonderful American Aubameyang and the likes of players.
Is he still the wonderful American
Aubameyang? I mean, for Gabon, he's always going to be the wonderful American Aubameyang. There's nothing changes about that. He's with the captain armband. He has
with the captain's armband at Arsenal as well.
I mean, so are you going to say is it Didier Ndong that is the
no I'm just saying if they're going to pin all their hopes on him then
he's still the one. I mean, there's Bonaga.
They shouldn't even bother.
No, well in that group They're going to find it tough, but I think this is one of the groups that's going to have one of the best top place teams qualifying as. I mean, this group has potential for one of those teams to qualify in that manner.
Because one of the teams is probably, or all the teams that are probably going to beat Comoros.
Probably, but like I said, Comoros are coming with their own fire-packed team, and you know, I'm expecting fire from everybody in this group.
But the biggest match definitely will be talking about Morocco and Ghana, who are the first team to play in that group.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's going to be very, it's going to be very, very beautiful game to watch. Like, I mean, I'm the anticipation to the game is going to be lit. Around Africa, to be honest, I don't just think it's going to be Ghana and Morocco nationals that are watching that game, because I think it's going to decide how the Nations Cup in that manner goes. It kind of pits East and North against each other. Mm. And to be very fair, I like watching. Yes, I love watching when West Africa has to play against North African teams. It's always lit. I think they are the two strongest parts of Africa. But I think the quality of the North in general.
At the moment.
Yes, but when you put West versus North, it's
always a little.
Yes, yes, exactly.
We'll probably be seeing the same thing in Group D as well. Egypt taking on Nigeria, our very own Nigeria. Should we be worried about that game, or is this something that we should go into with confidence? Because for me, I think it would be a really dicey affair.
So first and foremost, it's already one of the games to watch out for in the whole tournament. I mean, when the draw was made, it was everybody looked out for Egypt, Nigeria with their newfound with their newfound style of play and I mean players and all of that. So there was that anticipation from the draws, and now we're getting close to the day. I expect to see fireworks actually, and I want to see my potential Ballon d'Or winner coming through. I mean, I'm Nigerian, but then
really?
So
that game you're looking forward to hearing from Salah?
No, I expect something from Salah any day, but
exactly, it's not like you're looking.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to. Yeah, but
something that you know is most likely going to happen.
See, yes, it is. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Salah is going to play
the highest goal scorer in the last AFCON is with Nigeria. Talking about Odion Ighalo,
he came back. Yes, that makes my point.
Messi came back.
Central completely different. Nobody
so
came
already,
back.
Nigeria has nobody went back at that age. In the sense that very close to a competition once again. We had to change our managers, and then we're bringing Osinego Avon, who was just in the technical crew, and now he has to be the one making all the decisions. And then the coming in is going to be observing from far away. I think Nigeria has potential if they play together as a team, and I think we would definitely go far.
Yeah, but
I think
going far is different from
the final.
Going far is different
Nigeria.
From beating Egypt or actually topping the group.
Is that did you see that happen, Maivi?
Nigeria topping the group. Mm. I feel once again we'll be calculating. So if this people lose and these people draw, Nigeria will need 2 points like we have always done.
Do you think it's a possibility for Nigeria to qualify as the third placed team?
No, it's not possible.
So he's top two in this group for Nigeria.
Yes, come on. Definitely.
I mean, see,
if we have issues beating
Sudan,
South and Sudan, then
yeah,
we should be looking at ourselves.
Nigeria is always going to, I think Nigeria is going to give us that one match that will have our hearts in our neck.
Nigeria has always done that. I just hope our boys will come with their A games, especially against Egypt, because it might really dictate how the whole
exactly
competition
as
will
that's
go
the
for
first
us.
Game, but, yes, first game but, of the tournament.
So talking about Nigeria, it's kind of unfortunate that we're going without our hottest strikers at the moment. At least both of them that should be available, but for some reasons they are not available.
No need crying over spilled milk. We'll work with what we have.
Yes,
we have a squad that is better than most other teams, even without these
with
guys.
With those two players, they are the ones that said that Nigeria's quality.
Squad.
Yes,
we have a squad that's good enough.
Who's next? We have Odion Ighalo. Simple.
What?
We have
so hold on. Yes, he keeps like, bringing Odion Ighalo's name like as if we're supposed to calm me
as
down.
If it's like, oh, we have Messi, we have Mbappe.
We have Odion Ighalo.
Or as if we have Emmanuel Dennis.
If Iheanacho plays like I know he can play.
Huge if.
He plays how he's supposed to play. I believe Odion Ighalo will have no excuse. And Odion Ighalo is somebody that he kind of has a lot to prove, because he's coming from
a lot of
out of retirement. And then I'm glad, as if Gennett Rowe knew what would happen in the future. If we had not recalled Odion Ighalo, I think we'll be at a disadvantage now than having him in the team. So having him somehow is a curse that is not a blessing.
I personally,
I think there have been other people.
Yes, exactly. I don't think Odion Ighalo was the answer to our problems. Nigeria has like a lot of
we still have Taiwo Awoniyi somewhere in the mix.
We have a lot of quality, especially attackers. So it's like holding on to these players and looking like they're past their peak.
Ojo Nigalo.
I said looking like they are past their peak. Look, like you heard me clearly, they look like they are past their peak. So Ojo Nigalo could come into the tournament and be the top scorer. It's very possible. It can happen like that for him.
But at the same time,
we are not expecting that.
More than this time.
Yes, exactly. What he was playing football. Yes,
he was playing football,
but now he's not. He's no more in our faces the way he was. And then even at that, I don't think his performances there to have been worthy of come and be starting striker for Nigeria that wants to go for
Ole
the tournament.
Saw something and then he called him, and I believe Gennaro saw the same thing.
Yeah,
even Ole Colini was first of all he was last resort. It was not like Ole Gallo is my striker and I want to buy him from January.
And even when
1.
He did go to United, he barely played. By the next season, they were getting rid of him and getting.
I don't get.
It's about people that pick who needs to play. We know Ole is a very poor judge of that. Eventually,
wow. You were the one that came and said Ole now. So I don't understand. You're just doing own goal for yourself.
He saw equality enough to bring him in. So the fact that I didn't use him to play is not.
I think it was more.
He was not even in equality for money, to be very fair. Yes, it was not. It was not money's quality, but he was just
putting it out there.
I am saying it. I've always said it.
So I think Odion Ighalo has a point to prove in this Nations Cup, and he will prove it. Can we go to Sudan?
That's what he believes.
Sudan.
Sudan versus Guinea-Bissau is the other game in the group, or Sudan and Guinea-Bissau are the other teams in the group, and I think they will be very happy that they're playing against each other first instead of playing against either Nigeria or Egypt.
So Guinea-Bissau has never left their group.
Because now, if you look at it, they have a good chance. If you know, now that there's even the possibility of them qualifying as best loser, that game is going to be very hot, because anyone who wins would think, okay, we've won this, now there's a possibility that we'll qualify, even if we lose to Nigeria and Egypt as well.
Sure, I agree.
So that game is basically a final for them.
Exactly.
Their first game of the tournament is going to be a final for each of them. And
actually,
I mean,
for Sudan, I think this is their first appearance in 10 years. And then for Guinea-Bissau, because they've never left their group, so it will be a tough one. I think they will draw. I don't think
that wouldn't serve it up.
Yeah, I mean,
they are
going for do or die in this game, and it's going to be, because I think they are going to have all players. There's not going to be any suspensions. Everybody's going to be available. They will have their first team, their strongest team available, and they want to go in for the kill against each other.
If they can kill. So, if it was put to you, what do you think the scoreline is going to be between Egypt and Nigeria?
You see, Egypt and Nigeria, let's see. Since Nigeria is starting from a deficit of 1, because we already know Musiala is going to score. So,
honestly speaking,
I think a 1-1 or 2-2 draw will be fair.
Who scored these goals for Nigeria? Because that's
Johnny Gallo.
When we get to that goal,
we'll cross that bridge.
Exactly.
All right,
guys, we've come to the end of the AFCON segment of the Ball Gecko podcast, brought to you proudly by MTN. And on the next episode, we're going to be talking about Groups E and Group F, two amazing groups as well, just like Groups C and D. And thank you for listening.
And on that note, we are bringing the end of this episode of the Ball Gecko podcast today. I mean, I needed to get my reaction on Lukaku's apology. And he's also looking to, you know, what I think about Ragnik. And
it was really fiery, man. Against Ragnik, you were shouting.
I wasn't shouting like that, but I mean, I need to make my point here, because it seemed like at some point you were not understanding what I'm saying. But then you do understand that.
Understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I still
don't understand.
In plain simple English, you know, the players are
even after this podcast is over, we're going to the room and we'll still keep arguing.
I don't have the energy to argue, but I mean, I can try. I'll do my best. But then, guys, I hope you've really loved the episode, and look forward to joining us on the next episode on the Ball Gecko podcast. From Naz and Maivi, this is goodbye.
That was Ball Gecko podcast. For more content, please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Ball Gecko. Also check out our website at www.ballgecko.com.